Plains Tribune presents the Friday Mashup. Hello, everyone. This is John Dale speaking. Let's talk about some essential minerals now. Heading into the cold winter months here in South Dakota, you have to start thinking about how to power your body, how to make sure that you're going to be okay in the face of some of what's coming, because these winters are long and you really have to be prepared for them. So let's talk about essential nutrients. Okay, these are things that you have to have in order to survive. If you don't have essential minerals, you die. That's just the way it goes. Some of these essential minerals are iodine is one of those essential minerals. That's why they put it in salt. Vitamin C is another essential mineral that you have to get vitamin C. If you don't get vitamin C, you'll get scurvy, man. You don't want to get scurvy, right? So make sure that you understand what that means. If you have certain health conditions where it might be a problem to get the essential minerals like this, and there might be certain requirements for that, go talk to your doctor. Even if you don't, go and talk to your doctor. I get my blood work done regularly. It's not a bad idea. That way you know where you stand. Don't be afraid. You should try to go get your blood work done if you can. And run this by your doctor before you just run off whole hog, okay? So here's what I do, though. Let me share with you what I do. And I've survived 3 bouts with COVID and flus, you know, my whole life. I feel like my immune system's been really strengthened, kind of going through the war, if you will. So my immune system is strong because I make sure that I have seasonal vegetables and fruits. Right now, what's in season is one of my favorite fruits, and that is grapefruit. Grapefruit has vitamin C and other essential minerals in it. And one thing that we do is if we can find organic grapefruit, we like to wash them really well, peel them, boil those peels for 2 hours, and then let them sit in a pot with the lid on tight so that the hydroxychloroquine does not evaporate out of there. Now, hydroxychloroquine in conjunction with zinc helps to push vitamin D and other essential nutrients into the cells of your body. Zinc itself is an antiviral agent. At least that's my understanding, and I practice these things. I'm not just telling you, lightly. I practice this. So I'll take zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C, and then we make up some hydroxychloroquine, and I have some of that on a regular basis. I try to, especially if I start to feel a little bit under the weather. I want to make sure. But the best thing you can do is preload with this stuff. Make sure you're taking a multivitamin that's appropriate for your age and gender. If you have any concerns, talk to your doctor. Make sure that you're eating fruits and vegetables. And when you have sugar, try to have that packaged with whatever it's naturally occurring with. So like there's sugar, sucrose, I think it is, and maybe glucose, maybe even fructose in oranges and in other citrus. You're actually getting sugars in there, but it's packaged with that natural fiber, which helps to transport that sugar down to your lower intestine. And what that does is prevent it from being turned into fatty material that's deposited in your liver. If you have a bunch of sugar and it's absorbed in your upper digestive tract, then that's going to get processed into fat in your liver. That's my understanding. Studied this for a while. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. This is not medical advice. I'm just reminding you that garbage in, garbage out. You know, you need to really make sure that you fuel yourself appropriately. Got to put the right stuff in your body to get it to work properly, just like your car or your motorcycle or your lawnmower. Well, the human body is capable of higher levels of performance, especially when it comes to disease and sickness. I want you to please be aware of that. I care about you. I care about your family. I care about my community. And so I'm sharing with you what has worked for my whole family. Now, the essential minerals, again, that I take regularly, personally, iodine. One of my favorites is a deep earth elemental iodine and that I get out of Austin, Texas. I take a multivitamin. I think right now I'm on a bottle of Men's Health. I take D. I supplement that separately. And in the summertime, I try to get at least 15 minutes of sun every single day. I take C and I take zinc, which, by the way, peas have a good concentration of zinc. Well, that's about it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to me today and for joining me. I really want you to be healthy. Here comes winter. This is John Dale. I want to share something with you that is near and dear to my heart, and that is my computer monitor. I'm a computer professional. I sit in front of this thing for my job every day, sometimes as much as 18 hours at a time. Over the years, I've been doing this for decades. I've developed something called computer vision syndrome. I have light sensitivity issues when I look away from the monitor. Now, if I step away from the computer for a while, it feels better. But I have to work. I have to get my job done. And that's why I prefer digital ink monitors by DB to Dom. These things use that digital ink like an e-reader, so you don't have this light blasting into your face. They're awesome. Check it out. Go to dbtodom.com today. George S. Mikkelsen was born in Mobridge, South Dakota. His grandfather was a Norwegian immigrant. His parents, George Theodore Mikkelsen and Madge Mikkelsen, were the governor and first lady of South Dakota from 1947 to 1951. You heard that right. He's the son of a governor. And so I think that's one. It's very rare. That's actually quite rare. Mikkelsen graduated from the University of South Dakota with his bachelor's in business administration in 63 and from the University of South Dakota School of Law in 1965. He was a brother in Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity at USD. He served in the Army, including a tour of duty in Vietnam. He married Linda McCarran, and they had three children, Amy, David, and Mark. Mikkelsen served as the State Assistant Attorney General from 67 to 68, and South Dakota State Attorney, Brookings County, 71 to 74, first elected to the South Dakota House of Representatives in 1974. He held the office there for 6 years, serving as Speaker for the final 2 years. Mikkelsen was elected governor in 1986, then reelected again 4 years later. He's had several things named after him. The Mikkelsen Trail in the Black Hills, the George S. Mikkelsen Center for Neurosciences in Yankton, South Dakota, the George S. Mikkelsen Education Center at Southeast Technical Institute in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was built in 1990. The George S. Mikkelsen Great Service Award is given out annually by the South Dakota Office of Tourism, his alma mater, USD, awards academically talented South Dakota students with high ACTs and SATs with a full ride, known as the George S. Mikkelsen Scholarship. It's the most prestigious scholarship at USD. So this guy's been around politically in South Dakota, well-loved, actually, well-revered. Mikkelsen represents a moment in South Dakota history that really rivals, for South Dakotans who knew him and loved him and tendered his leadership, they were really disappointed when they lost Governor Mikkelsen. And it's quite a tragic story. In fact, the way he died even was just incredible. See, they had this plane with a two-proper. The plane was a two-prop plane, and it was kind of notorious for one of those props to come undone. And at that sort of spinning rotation at its peak, coming undone and just falling off the plane. And I have it on fairly good authority from someone who's worked in the governor's office, an old-time political guy or girl, who said that prop, when it flew off, careened into the fuselage of the plane, and it caused like an immediate decompression in the plane. And the folks that were on board were killed instantly. except the pilots. They were in a separate compartment, and they tried to land it. It just didn't work out, and they all died tragically. And they were coming back from Iowa, I believe it was, after trying to save a packing plant. And look at who was on the plane. This is who was on the plane. Angus Anson, 38, of Sioux Falls. He was the general manager and chief executive for Northern States Power Company for South Dakota. He was also the chairman-elect of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation. His hometown was Wessington. He and his wife Cindy had two children together. Ron Becker, 52, of Pierre, was the state's chief pilot for 6 years. He'd been flying for the state since 1980. He was born in Leola. He and his wife Shirley had two children. David Berkland, 54, of Sioux Falls, was president and chief executive officer of First Bank of South Dakota. Berkland's hometown was Gonvick, Minnesota. He and his wife Mary had two children. Roland Dolly, 37, of Pierre, was named commissioner of the governor's office of economic development in 91. Before that, he was on the staff of former U.S. Senator James Abner and was a special assistant to Mickelson. Dolly's hometown was Presho. He and his wife, Lane, did not have any children. Roger Hange, 43, of Sioux Falls, was president of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and Forward Sioux Falls, a partnership between the development organization and the Chamber of Commerce. His hometown was Del Rapids. He and his wife, Susan, had no children. David Hansen, 45, of Pierre, joined the State Transportation Department in 1990 after 13 years flying for the State Highway Patrol. He and his wife, Diane, had two children. Ron Reed, 52, of Pierre, was commissioner of the State Office of Energy Policy. He and his wife, Barb. Barb was Mickelson's personal secretary. Reed's hometown was Bedford, Iowa. They had two children together. It was a tragedy. It really struck deep into the core of South Dakotans. Craig Lawrence said, "It just put us in a state of shock. It was South Dakota's version of 9/11. How could such a horrendous thing happen?" he said. That plane went down near Dubuque, Iowa, the same day that Waco happened. Remember Waco, Texas? If you don't know about that, go look it up. Waco. I think we have now, one of Biden's high officials was in charge of that Waco operation. Really tragic day. It was a dark day for America and an exceptionally dark day for South Dakota. Frank Brost, Mickelson's chief of staff, said, "Our receptionist answered the phone, bolted into my office, and told me I had to take this phone call." Most of the staff were still at the Capitol. Brost had to take that first call. He advised that the plane was down, the federal aviation official did. There were no survivors, and we had about 20 minutes to start notifying people because that story was about to break in the Chicago television market. "It was an empty feeling," said Bernie Hunhoff, Democratic leader in that legislature. He was in his first year. "I knew it was a huge loss for the entire state." But they couldn't just take any time to grieve. They had no time to deal with this and grieve and process, because it was time to move on and get the lieutenant governor sworn in, try to figure out how they were going to maintain continuity. And it wasn't just the governor. There were some key people there. Key people. They were trying to save the city's John Morrell and Company packing plant in Sioux Falls. And they're coming back from Ohio when they crashed. I'm not sure whatever happened to that packing plant, but I know these days those packing plants are in high demand and very valuable to everything we're doing. And I guess I'm a little choked up about it, to hear and read about this and try to process it myself. That whole week was just a blur. you just never had a chance to really focus on the enormity of the sadness, just because we all had a significant number of jobs that needed to be done. Families had to grieve. The state had to grieve. That was Dean. We're losing not only a friend, he became friends with everyone he met. But I thought, this is not the time to lose George Mikkelsen. He's got so much on his plate. That was Hunhoff. Almost all of us are completely dispensable and easily replaced. I don't think George was. So let's take a moment to remember South Dakota's governor. Take a moment to process that. Years have passed. Decades have passed since that event. And I don't know that South Dakota has ever been the same.
Hello, everybody. This is John Dale, also known as Captain Backvar. If you are interested in participating in a country music festival during the summer of 2024, please call 605-549-5515 today and let me know. Thank you so much.
When the internet first came out, it promised to connect the world, and it did. Unfortunately, baked into the internet is the ability to get information about other people. Like lots of information. Of every imaginable type. We believe over time that by respecting your right to privacy, our communities become stronger and more trustworthy. At dbtodom.com, we believe that is a good thing to work for. Thank you.
We love our dogs. We love our pets. But sometimes we just can't afford to take them to the vet, and we have to do something unmentionable. If you or your family or friends find themselves in this circumstance, there's something that you can do. Call Hobo's Healing Heart or look them up on Facebook. I'm not a representative of them, but I would like to wholeheartedly recommend them to you before you consider doing the unthinkable to one of your most loyal, lifelong companions.
our shoes off at the door. Across the hardwood floors to my room. You pierce my arm and you take my hand and give me a kiss. You speak in a language that I understand with your lips. Let me be your red wine. Let me be your Sauvignon. I wanna paint your lips the deepest shade of burgundy. I wanna be that place you feel from. Your worries soak in the past. If I'm an adventure, then you'll be the man. I'll be the spell you didn't have to cast. Let me be your red wine. Let me be your. Your lips the deepest shade of burgundy. I wanna be that place you feel from.
Bottle in my hand, looking for a woman, ain't got no man.
danced all night with a bottle in my hand. Sweet thing. The poor little busted in the smokestack fell. Sweet thing. Busted in the smokestack fell. Sweet thing. Boy, little busted in the smokestack fell. Killed my daughter, dead as hell. Boy, little busted in the smokestack fell. Sweet thing.
Hello everyone, this is John Dale of Pretty Little Ditties. I play original music and I do a lot of improv with my presentation. Every performance is different. I also love to teach and interact with people who appreciate and enjoy live music from a real person. I have deep knowledge and experience in music and it comes through in the playing that I work hard to be able to bring to your event. If you'd like to have me out, please don't hesitate to drop me a note at info@plainstribune.com. Again, that's Pretty Little Ditties. That's what I'm calling my little music venture. So I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Howdy, folks. Hey, are you struggling to find a way to stay fit in the wintertime? It's just so easy to kick your feet up and have that fourth cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows, isn't it? Well, I solved this problem for myself about 3 years ago when I started cross-country skiing. We found our way up to the Big Hill facility here near Spearfish. You just hop on Tinton Road, you head up there on Big Hill. That's maintained by Nordic Ski Group. I can't think of the, oh my gosh, what's the name? the Black Hills Nordic Ski Club or something like that. They're on Facebook. If you look up Black Hills Nordic Skiing and Cross Country Skiing, you'll definitely be able to find them. It's changed my life. It gives me that edge in winter. I don't put on that extra 5 or 10 pounds that then I'm looking at every spring. And it feels great for those of you who are active. I can wholeheartedly recommend that you head up to Big Hill and check out those trails. Also look them up on Facebook and get some pointers and tips for your skis and how to wax them and how you can help to be a good citizen up there. So anyway, I'd like to personally thank Nordic Ski Club folks up there for the work they do maintaining that trail. It's a life changer and it's awesome. It's something that I think I would like to see become more popular in the area. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
The Lite Phone 2 is a premium, minimal phone. It will never have any social media, clickbait news, email, an internal browser, or any other anxiety-inducing infinite feeds. It's an experience we call going light. It's a phone, it calls, it texts. There's a customizable menu of simple tools and a dashboard website to manage everything. There's a headphone jack, Bluetooth, and it can be used as a personal hotspot. The phone uses unique electric paper screen technology, also found in popular e-readers. This does not emit any blue light like a traditional backlit screen. It's visible in direct sunlight and limited to black and white, intentionally. So if you're interested in the Lite Phone, go to thelitephone.com and tell them John Dale sent you.
He might need another spacesuit, a black belt with the belch. He's American spaceman, half Irish and half Welsh.
Episode 4 of Captain Backfire. In this episode, the team is on the moon harvesting cheese rocks when something goes wrong. Will they survive? Find out now in Captain Backfire, Episode 4.
This is Mission Control to Cheese Rock Harvester Alpha. Do you copy? Over.
This is Alpha. Mission is commencing on schedule. Ready for pickup in T-minus 2 minutes. Over.
Have you finished the harvest? Over.
Almost, Mission Control. Over. Mission Control, we've got a problem over here. Over.
Report. What's your status? Over.
It looks like my secondary methane chamber is showing a weakness in its structural integrity. A breach is imminent. I repeat, a breach is imminent.
This is Mission Control. You forgot to say over. Over.
Sorry. Over. I repeat, a breach is imminent. Over.
Oh God, how far out are you? Can you make it back in time? Over.
What about the harvest? Over.
Just cut the load. Cut the cheese. Save yourself. Over.
Roger. Mission Control, I'm on my way. I don't know if I can make it in time. A breach in T-minus 5 seconds. I'm too far out. I'm not going to make it. Over.
It was an honor to know you, Captain. Good luck. Over.
This feels imminent. Over.
the harvest. Over? No. Okay. You've completed the harvest. Over?
They're both questions?
Have you completed the harvest? Over? Have you... Have you completed the harvest? Over? Have you completed the harvest? Over?
You have been listening to Captain Backfire, Episode 4. Captain Backfire is voiced by John Dale. Control Room by Caitlin Dale. Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion to see what happens to our team harvesting cheese in the moon. Growing Business Solutions is an LLC started in Tucson, Arizona in 2004. This is John Dale, everyone. I founded Growing Business Solutions as the master's thesis for the McGuire Center for Entrepreneurship Concentration in Entrepreneurship. Since then, I've worked professionally in enterprise software, delivering solutions to healthcare. I've delivered encryption software for the largest credit union in Canada. I put together a 52-gun raffle for law enforcement, a law enforcement association. I've delivered for higher ed, K-12, and other firms. I can design and build these applications from the ground up. They're scalable, fast, secure, privacy certified. I can also conduct audits, and I can perform consulting of many different technological varieties. Again, that's growingbusinesssolutions.com. Thank you.
Howdy! If you're like me, you really enjoy the satisfaction that comes from harvesting your own vegetables from your very own garden using this incredible soil we have here in Spearfish. But I wanted to remind you, now is really the beginning of next season. Start thinking about your garden now. We have two farmers markets in town, and the people go there looking for produce. So we need more people to be putting stuff in the ground now. I know there's a Black Hills Master Gardeners Club organization that you could reach out to for help. Also, there, just look it up, the farmers markets. You can touch base with them probably on Facebook and other means. Go find them online and reach out to them for advice, tips, and pointers. And go ahead and put some seeds down. Thanks, everybody. This is John, by the way, John Dale. Have a great day. Hello, everybody. This is John Dale. Do you know any fiddle pickers here in the area who would like to feature their original music on the program? If so, have them call 605-549-5515 and leave a message to put us in contact. Basically, you can think of it like an open mic, a digital open mic. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
If you're like me, you're a parent, and you have kids, and you're proud of them. Well, we're certainly proud of our children, and in particular, we're proud of the way that they won back-to-back the Congressional App Challenge. Let me tell you a little bit about the Congressional App Challenge. Now, the first year they won it, they did get an article in the paper and were recognized, and that was great. When we repeated, they didn't actually call us or anything. I'm not sure what's going on over there at the Black Hills Pioneer, but I figured why not take a moment to recognize our kids here. So the Congressional App Challenge, let me tell you a little bit about this thing. Every congressman in the country has a Congressional App Challenge in their district. In South Dakota, we only have one congressman because our population is pretty low here, and that's Congressman Dusty Johnson. And I'd like to personally thank him, first of all, for putting this competition on and for giving us an opportunity to shine, because we homeschool and we're always interested in opportunities to give our kids a chance to excel and succeed, and giving them opportunities in venues that, normally aren't accessible to homeschool type arrangements. But anyway, so we saw that this thing was happening and we decided, what the heck? The first time we entered it, we figured, we'll go ahead and enter this thing. And we ended up winning it. Then the next year, we entered it, and that was the year of the pandemic. So we weren't sure what was going to happen, but we ended up winning, but they never had their event in D.C. The first year, we couldn't make it to Washington, D.C. to celebrate. They have an event where the kids can get together and meet each other and show off their different inventions and stuff. And it's a great opportunity to get a tour of the Capitol. And you also get some special consideration. In fact, I'll tell you about that in just a little bit if I have time. So anyway, we entered it the second time and built an application called Lighthouse. Lighthouse was an application that allowed parents and other people in the community to get together and share information about the content of books. Because we think that books can shape a person's character and their worldview. And so if there's a passage in a particular book that maybe is questionable, we don't want to burn that book. We're not book burners. But maybe we want to warn parents that, hey, there's some content in here you might not like, and maybe you could steer clear of it. Or maybe it's just exactly the type of content you're looking for, and you could go find this material. We didn't find a really good opportunity to use software like that, so we figured, why not put this together? So we built the database, and we built the Enterprise Java, and we built the HTML5, and put this application together and got it working in kind of a proof of concept prototype way, which is all that's required for this thing. It's a high school competition for writing software right here in South Dakota. And we represented South Dakota, and I thought that our project, when we went to D.C. to show it off last summer, really stacked up to a lot of those other projects. I'm just so incredibly proud of the girls for doing this. Now, we're going to try to three-peat. We're going to try to do it again. I don't know if, 3 years in a row is reasonable. I don't know if we'll be able to do that. My oldest daughter is now attending Black Hills State, so she's not on the team and not participating in this project anymore. But our middle daughter is still in our homeschool, and she's a junior, so she can maybe do this contest for another 2 years. And next year, we've already kind of got it maybe planned out what we want to do. But they're just amazing kids, and I wanted to recognize them for their accomplishment. And I wanted to share that accomplishment with you as well, and to share also a little bit about our trip to Washington, D.C. So we live like church mice here in Spearfish, South Dakota. We do not have a lot of money. In fact, right now even, we have 99 cents in our bank account. If you would like to contribute, please go to plainstribune.com and drop a little bit in the bucket for us, because we are representing South Dakota and doing our very best. And there's just not compensation out there for this type of work as a homeschool. If you win a contest like this, you would think that there would be a prize or some kind of a nice cash reward would be good, because boy, could we sure use it. But we had to go around our community and knock on doors, and we hit up a bunch of local businesses to see if they would be willing to support this effort, because we had already won at that point. And I was floored. I can't tell you, I did not expect to win this thing 2 years in a row. I didn't expect it to win it 1 year in a row after my experience homeschooling for 18 years. You just don't get a lot of this the consideration. Even if you do a really good job, people tend to look down at you for being a homeschooler. But I'm digressing. So we went around to all the local businesses here, not all of them, but many local businesses here in Spearfish, until we had accumulated, get this, $2,400 in cash donations to be able to take our trip to Washington, D.C. Absolutely, again, floored me. Humbled, I felt like, wow, we're a part of this community. This is really incredible. And I want to say thank you to all of those businesses and individuals, friends, family, and fools who donated to our cause to get us to Washington, D.C. to participate and represent the entire state of South Dakota, to represent Representative Dusty Johnson with honor and integrity to the best of our ability. We were on a shoestring budget. We stayed in a rat-infested hotel up in Maryland, and we commuted into D.C. 2 or maybe 3 days in a row. I think it was 2 days in a row to participate in this event, and it was just well worth it to not just see the sights but experience Washington, D.C., and to, again, represent South Dakota in the very best way that we knew how, because we're proud of you. We're proud of the state that we live in. And people overlook this state, and they don't understand the kind of amazing people that live here, who were able to survive here over the centuries, really. And that includes the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota. It includes the Norwegians and Germans and Irish and, the Danish and Scottish and everywhere. I mean, we've got representation in South Dakota, Ukrainian even, Russian, from everywhere. And French, so proud of every one of you. Spanish, did I get them all? I guess. Mexican, Panamanian, and on and on and on. And so it warmed my heart to be able to represent my state and my home state where my daughter was born. Two of our daughters were born down in Tucson, and one was born here in Spearfish 9 years ago. Anyway, so we took the trip to D.C., and we got to do some neat things. And my favorite was probably the Lincoln Memorial, going inside of that and taking the absolute lowest radio frequency reading I've ever taken. That was impressive. So even today, Lincoln is casting a protective shadow over us. And I don't mean to deify him, but he was kind of a cool guy. A lot of people don't understand Lincoln as I understand it. And so that was neat. We got to see the Washington Monument. My favorite part was the crypt. I don't know why they call it that, but it's this room that has these arches that go way up, and it's got a certain angle to it to where you could be standing on one side of this thing and you could hear a conversation happening on the entirely different side of the room. And so I walked through, and as soon as I realized what kind of acoustics I was dealing with, I started singing. And it was the most amazing acoustics I've ever heard in my life. I would love to sing again in that particular room. I'm not really fond of the name, the crypt, but I certainly am fond of the acoustics in there and the thought that went into building that room. While we were there, they had a bomb scare. And I think they kind of, on busy days, they may have a bomb scare on all the busy days, because it sure does make it easier to round up all those pesky tourists for those hardworking Capitol Police men and women. But I felt like maybe, judging from the body language of the Capitol Police, that maybe it wasn't exactly something that we should be super concerned about, bomb scare. And they used that really well to get everyone out of the building and away from it. And then our group got to stay down below, right under where this bomb supposedly was. And we were able to continue. We were in the Capitol until after that officially had closed, and we had special consideration to finish our event. And I would just like to thank Dusty and everyone else involved in that, all the people who supported us and contributed to our ability to get out there to Washington, D.C. I got to put my feet in the ocean and smell that amazing ocean air. We drove, so we got to see the countryside from here to Washington, D.C., in the heartland of America, the heartland of the United States. And I'm getting chills just thinking about it. And my chest is hot right now, thinking of, I'm overwhelming with pride. I'm brimming with pride and appreciation for how we got to go to D.C. and celebrate my kids and our homeschool. So thank you, everyone who contributed. Again, thanks, Dusty and staff. Thanks to U.S. Congress. I know that a lot of people are being hard on you guys right now. So I'm going to go ahead and take a moment to say attaboy and attagirl for the Congressional App Challenge. And I'm hopeful that maybe we'll get back again next year. What do you think? Anyway, this is John Dale, and I appreciate you joining me for this segment in recognizing Casey and Caitlin Dale for their accomplishment winning the Congressional App Challenge, Dusty Johnson's Congressional App Challenge, back-to-back.